quite often when I come in and I sit down and look out that window, I look at the red kites. Amazing birds. And it seems that they just stretch their wings out and the wind takes them and they soar. And it looks like they're really loving it. I wonder if you've had a red kite week this week, where you've soared. Or maybe you've had a bit of a pigeon week. I don't know if you've ever stood under a tree where a pigeon decides to take off. They are not subtle birds, are they? They put absolutely everything into it. And it's like they just launch themselves off. And they go so far, and then they stop flapping, and they drop. So they have to stop flapping again. Maybe that's the sort of week you've had. You've just launched yourself off into each day, and it's obvious to all around that you're struggling. But you've got to get through. And if you stop, you drop. Maybe you've had a pigeon week. Or maybe you've had a duck week. You see the ducks on the water. Everything looks calm, just bobbing along. But actually, if you went underneath the water, their feet are going frantically to keep them in place and get them in the direction they're going. And maybe that's the sort of week you've had this week, where looking on, everyone thinks you've got it all together. It's all going calm and all going wonderful, but underneath you're frantically trying to keep in place. So I don't know what sort of week you've had this week, but whatever you've got this week, God's got something for you here this morning. Because whenever we come to God's word, he loves to give things to us from his word. The question is, are we ready to receive it? Are we ready to receive it? To put away all that's happened in the past week, even in the past few minutes, and just to be still and listen to what God's got to say to you. So what I'd like to do, just for a minute, just quiet, as we spend time to God, to prepare for us to listen to his word. And it's written from John, if you're not aware of the setup of the Bible, it's near the end of the Bible. And at the start, in the first chapter, we're actually not told who it's to. You have to go through to the middle of chapter 2 to find out who it's for. And it says this in 1 John 2, verses 12 to 14, says this: "I'm writing to you who are God's children, because your sins have been forgiven through Jesus. I am writing to you who are mature in the faith, because you know Christ who existed from the beginning. I am writing to you who are young in the faith, because you have won your battle with the evil one. I have written to you who are God's children, because you know the Father. I have written to you who are mature in the faith, because you know Christ who existed from the beginning. I have written to you who are young in the faith, because you are strong. God's word lives in your hearts and you have won your battle with the evil one." So this letter is for Christians. For those who have been Christians a long time, for those who have just become Christians, it's for all Christians. But if you're not a Christian here this morning, that's not a problem. God still has a word for you this morning. And if there's something you listen to this morning and you think, I'm not quite sure about it, I'd like to know more, well, come and ask one of us this morning after we finish. We'd love to talk to you about it. But predominantly, the letter we're reading this morning is to Christians. And 1 John chapter 2 is a chapter of contrasts. On one side, we've got God, and then we have, on the other, the world system. We have Christ, we have the Antichrist. We have light, we have darkness. We have truth, we have lies. We have love, we have hate. It's very black and white, this chapter. Stark contrast. We live in a world of blurred lines, of shadows, of greys, of changing truths. So what was true yesterday isn't true today because it doesn't suit me. But with God, there are absolutes and there are distinctions. And the great thing about that is it gives me security. Because if God said that today, he will say that tomorrow. If God was like that yesterday, he'll be like that in the future. I don't have to wonder about God or wonder about God's word. It will never change. And therefore, it's totally reliable. We come into an election. We love elections, don't we? And people will tell you lots and lots of things and promise you the earth. And yet, a few months down the line, those promises are forgotten because they no longer need to promise you. But with God, what he says will always stand. And we can trust that. When we come to 1 John 2, there's a key verse that colours the whole chapter. And in fact, it colours the whole book. And it's 1 John 2, verse 6, and it says this. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. That's a pretty bold statement. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Easy. Not. But there's one word that goes through the whole of 1 John chapter 2 that helps us when it comes to that verse. And it's an old-fashioned word called abide. Abide has many meanings. And the version we're going to read this morning, the New Living Translation, it's translated as remain, continue, live. It could also be translated as stay, rest, inhabit. But you can't live as Jesus lived unless you abide in him. You can't do that. One without the other just doesn't work. And John is going to continue to remind these people who are listening, if they want to live as Christians, they've got to stay in Christ. And it's all about living in the light. That's what 1 John 2 is all about. And the first two verses says this, my dear children, I'm writing to this to you so you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only for our sins, but the sins of the whole world. He has made us right. He has placed us in the light because of his death on the cross when he died for our sins. But having been placed in the light, we need to continue to live in the light and walk as he has asked us to walk. Now, living in the light entails three things, I would say. There's a life of obedience. It's a life of love. And it's a life of truth. I don't know if you've ever seen one of these. Some of those? These are called spinners. Fidget spinners, in fact. And basically, they're weighted. And it's a whole craze with the kids at the moment. And you do that, and it's supposed to de-stress you. And if you get really good at it, you can actually balance it. That's the idea. And apparently it de-stresses you. But notice how it's set up. One central point, three outside points. Obedience, truth, love. Get those three in context, and you get balance. Get one of them out of context, it goes haywire. Some people might say to me, well, I'm obeying the law completely. Give me a rule and I'll obey it. But there's no love in that. It's out of balance. Well, I love everyone. So we'll just ignore the truth for the time being because it's uncomfortable. Suddenly you're out of balance. If we want to live in the light, we have to keep that balance of love, obedience, and truth. All equally important. If we side on one rather than the other, our life goes out of balance, out of kilter. So what does it say about a life of obedience, a life of love, and a life of truth in 1 John 2? In verses 3 to 4, it says this, "And we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. If someone claims, 'I know God,' but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person's a liar and not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. This is how we know we are living in him." See how closely those three words are linked: obedience, truth, and love. But if we want to show we're living in him, we need to obey his commandments. Do what he says. He's given us a book to show us the way to live. He's given us an example to show us how to live. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. He doesn't want us to do it out of force, because we have to, but because we love him. And we want to show our love for him. So if we want to live in the light, it means a life of obedience. If we want to live in the light, it means a life of love. And when it comes to 1 John 2, there's a negative love and a positive love. It says this in verse 15. "Do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything you see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. They're not from the Father, but they're of this world. And this world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever." There's lots of things in this world that can draw us away, draw our attention, draw our love, our affections. But 1 John 2 says, well, they're passing away. There's no constant in those. They're going to be gone. But God doesn't change. And God never fails. And God's never going to end. And so if we're going to direct our love to someone, he is the obvious choice. Not because of just because of who he is, but also what he's done and the relationship he's brought us into. And also, it says, "By this people will know you're my disciples, if you have love one for another." There's the example. Jesus loved his disciples, and he calls his disciples, Christians, to love one another. He said, well, how can you say you love God if you hate your brother? I will ask you this, but I don't put your hand up. Anyone get wound up by someone in here this morning? Not tonight, not this morning maybe, but in the past. Bit of friction. It's not a natural thing to get on with people that you don't know nothing about. We have nothing in common really apart from Christ, really, when we come down to it. We're all different from different circumstances, backgrounds, situations, lifestyles, everything. And then when you come to a Christian, God lumps us all together. And he says, I want you to live a life of love of my disciples, to show everyone who I am. None of these things are easy. It's not easy to obey. It's not easy to love sometimes. And sometimes it's quite easy not to go along with the truth for a bit of comfort's sake. But if we live in the light as he is in the light, that's what he calls us to. He calls us to a life of obedience, a life of love, and a life of truth. It says this, "Dear children, the last hour is here. You have heard that the Antichrist is coming, and already many such Antichrists have appeared. From this, we know that this last hour has come. These people left our churches, but they never really belonged with us. Otherwise, they would have stayed with us. When they left it, it proved that they did not belong with us. But you are not like that. For the Holy One has given you his Spirit, and all of you know the truth. So I'm writing to you not because you don't know the truth, but because you know the difference between truth and lies. And who is a liar? Anyone that says that Jesus is not the Christ. Anyone that denies the Father and the Son is Antichrist. Anyone who denies the Son doesn't have the Father either. But anyone who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. So you must remain faithful to what you've been taught from the beginning. If you do, you will remain in fellowship with the Son and with the Father. And in this fellowship, we enjoy the eternal life he promised us. I'm writing these things to warn you about those who want to lead you astray. But you have received the Holy Spirit, and he lives within you. So you don't need anyone to teach you that is true. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know. And what he teaches is true. It's not a lie. So just as he has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. When we become a Christian, when we have our sins forgiven, Christ plants his Holy Spirit in us. And one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit is to lead us into all truth. So in effect, we don't need people like me to stand at the front. Which is good, really, because if you relied on people like me to stand at the front and to help you each day, you'd be in a real problem by Monday morning. But we have the Holy Spirit in us who will lead us in all truth. He will show us the truth. When we don't know, he is available for us to ask. When we're confused, he is there to stop the confusion. But you know what? We actually have to make ourselves available to him to hear his truth in our lives. So if we want to walk in the light as he is in life, if we want to continue, which is what he calls us to do, it does mean a life of obedience. It does mean a life of love. And it does mean a life of truth. And if there's a real imbalance, verse 6 will be true of us. If we say that we live in God, we should live our lives as Jesus did. So that's the challenge for this week, as we go into this week. Am I walking in the light? Just three questions to leave you with. Are we living or just getting by? Are we living on the edge? That's not a good thing on this occasion. He calls us to walk in the light. But sometimes it's very easy to shuffle into the shadows, isn't it? To blend in. Want to stand out. But he calls us not to live on the edge, but live in the fullness of his light. And finally, is my life reflecting his life?